I'm thankful to God and to you for allowing me the wonderful privilege of proclaiming His Word. I'm thankful for my family and for my little grandchildren. I'm thankful for the joy and the goodness of my life. And this morning I want to talk about being thankful. Thankfulness. Thankfulness is something that we are expected and should have in our life. And I'm going to talk about it this morning by looking at Psalm 23, which may not be an obvious choice, although it's not that odd. I invite you to take out your Bibles and follow along as we look at Psalm 23. Where I'm going to be using this passage to talk about some principles of thankfulness. I could have picked a lot of passages, so many passages to choose. What may be a little odd about this particular passage is that the word thankfulness or thankful or grateful or even thanks, there's not in the passage. And yet it seems fairly obvious to me that David is expressing gratitude in what he says in this psalm. But there's a reason why I picked this particular psalm, and I hope to make it clear by the time we are done. Let's read the passage again together. Familiar enough, I suppose, but we'll just read it together. Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." There seems to be gratitude implicit in those words, don't you think? Thankfulness. David looks at his life and he sees good things in it. I'm going to talk about seven principles of thankfulness. Seven principles of thank. There are exactly seven principles of thankfulness in this passage. Not any more, not any less than seven. I thought there were six, but then I thought of another one. But if I go too long, it may end up being only four or five. Seven principles of thankfulness in this passage. And forgive me if they seem obvious to you after I mention them. Much of my job is just to point out the obvious, I guess. It shocks me sometimes what isn't obvious to some people, but in this case, it seems fairly obvious, I guess. But the first principle of thankfulness, if you're going to be a thankful person, and it would benefit you to be thankful. Thankful people are happy people. People who don't have gratitude are unhappy people. It would benefit you to be a thankful person. David was a thankful person. But in order to be thankful, the first principle that you have to practice is you have to be able to see that there's something to be thankful about. And we can call it gifts or good things or what have you, but until you see it, that there's something there in your life, you're not going to be thankful about it. That seems fairly obvious, doesn't it? You've got to be able to see it. And the truth of the matter is that very often we don't. We don't even see the thing that we ought to be thankful about. We get caught up in our own lives and we get busy and you know, we're struggling and working and striving and we don't even see it. And that's, if you can't even get that basic thing down, then you're not going to be thankful, you're not going to be grateful in your life. And I'm the kind of person that I get kind of wrapped up in my thoughts, and I'm kind of oblivious to what's going on. I live most of my life inside my head, actually. But sometimes my wife will do something, and she'll do it for me. She'll straighten something up, like my closet or something like that. And I dread it when I hear these words, but I hear them more often than I care to admit. Aren't you going to say anything? aren't you going to say anything? Now, I don't fault her for saying that. I should say something, and I need to be alerted to the fact that I need to say something. And it's pathetic that I have to be alerted to it. But I do. I do have to be alerted to it because something has been done. There is something there. It needs to be acknowledged. And I've got to tell you, you know, we live our lives constantly in this state of needing to be reminded and someone telling us, aren't you going to say anything? Because we don't see. I mean, we pass by marvel after marvel every day. Good thing after good thing every day. And it's like it's not even there. So that's the first principle. You got to be able to see it. You got to see what's there. David saw. He saw some stuff in his life. And that's something that I want to try to draw out and build upon as we go through this sermon, is that this psalm is not about David talking about some generic concept of thankfulness. He's talking about his own life. And David saw some things in his own life. And it's not just about sheep roaming around and getting green grass and good water or whatever. He's talking about his own life. And he's saying, this is what my life has been like. And I see some things, God. I see them. The next principle is that you have to value those things. Oh, naturally, one grows from the other, but not necessarily. Because there are people who have things in their life and they know they're there, they recognize them, but they don't appreciate them. A classic example is of the spoiled rich kid. You know, the spoiled rich kid, he's got all of this stuff. And he knows he's got them. He uses them. You know, he plays with them, but he doesn't appreciate them. They don't mean anything to him. And we're a lot like that. I mean, there are people who have good things and they say, these are good. And there are other people who say, this is lousy. And they're the same things. See, the ability to be thankful is contingent upon you understanding that you got something good going on. That there it is valuable to you, that it brings goodness to you. And clearly, that's what David is saying in this psalm. He's saying, this is good. You know, why call it green grass and still water? But he qualifies it. He describes it, you know. For the sheep, it's luscious green and delicious grass. And it's a metaphor, of course, for David's life. And he's saying, there's some good stuff in my life. It's good. And I see it's good. You got to be able to see the good in the things around you in order to be thankful about it. And not everybody does see that. And so they're not grateful, but we need to be. We need to be able to see the good. Can you see the good? Can you see it? But then, of course, you have to acknowledge something, that good thing in your life is not an accident. And that's another thing that trips people up. You know, there's a lot of people that, I've got some good things in my life and I appreciate them and I like them, but they don't acknowledge where they came from. They don't go the next step and say, now, how did I come by having this in my life? Is it just happened? It just appear magically out of thin air? And most people have enough sense to know that there are some people involved around them that brought some of these things about, and they're somewhat thankful to those people for that. But ultimately, there's somebody in our life without whom none of these things would exist. And you have to acknowledge that someone. And if you don't acknowledge that someone, if you don't recognize that this is not just an accident, that this good stuff that you value, that you appreciate, comes from God. If you don't know that, then you're not ever going to be thankful the way that you need to be thankful. That's just not going to happen. You know, sometimes people, they just don't think about it. But David thought about it. The Lord. That's how the psalm starts out, doesn't it? The Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is the one who anoints my head with oil. It's your rod and your staff that comfort me. It's you. It's not an accident. I'm not just some fortunate, lucky guy. It's God. You got to acknowledge the giver. If you don't acknowledge the giver, if you don't recognize where the gift came from, but there's no tag on it, and you say, I don't know who to thank for this, then that kind of short-circuits the whole process. But if you're wise enough and insightful enough to say, I've got good things in my life, and somebody did that, then you've got a chance to be thankful, at the very least. But you know, it doesn't just stop there. You know, part of it is that you have to see that this is for you. Now, sometimes gifts are, you know, just for everybody. They're just spread abroad. You know, you get that letter in the mail that says you have won $1 million. Say, man, I've won $1 million. No, everybody got that letter, buddy. You know, you may have won $1 million. If you have won $1 million, small print, if, you know. And so sometimes we perceive something to be personal, but it's not. It's just for everybody. You know, everybody gets this letter. You know, sometimes I don't know if they even still do it on Valentine's Day in school. You're supposed to make out a Valentine for all your fellow classmates. They probably don't even do that anymore because, you know, somebody's feelings might get hurt or something. But everybody gets one, and so you get this Valentine from this girl. You think, oh, she must really like me. You know, she gave one of those to everybody, and she gave you the cheapest one. You know, but that's not the case here. David says, "It's me." It's me. God did this for me. He anoints my head with oil. He prepares a table for me before my enemies. For me. It's not just some kind of generic, oh, God just rains down these gifts to everybody. He did that for me. He saw things in his life, David did, and he said, you know, God did that for me. And that's part of being thankful, you know. It's difficult to be thankful when it's just kind of a generic thing where everybody gets it. But when you know it was specifically for you that God did that, then you know you need to thank Him. Been watching a show. It's called Alone. Alone. These guys are get out here in the wilderness in Vancouver Island and British Columbia, and they're all by themselves. A guy has to survive all by himself for days and weeks. And even when little bitty, they catch one little fish, or they catch, you know, they find a crab or something, washes, a piece of garbage washes up on the beach. And all of a sudden, because they are living right on the edge of dying, that little thing becomes everything to them. And you know what they do? They say, thank you, Lord. These aren't even particularly religious people in many cases. But when something even little happens that helps them just get through the day, They're so grateful for it. And we don't have that in our life like we ought to. To acknowledge that God is present and it's personal. That happened for me. David had that. David knew that. David saw that it was personal, that God cared about him as a person. That's part of thankfulness. But you know, the next step in that, and here's something that may not be so obvious. The rest of these are fairly obvious, but here's something that may not be so obvious, is that it's really not about the gift, it's about the relationship. And that's the part of it. Sometimes we don't get that far. Sometimes we value the gift, we acknowledge the gift, we acknowledge who gave us the gift, we acknowledge that they did it for us personally, and we thank them for the gift because the gift warrants a thank you. But sometimes we're smart enough to do this, but often we're not. And to acknowledge, it's not about the gift at all. It has not, you know, the gift is just a mechanism. It's just an opportunity, a tool. It's just a means of saying, I care about you. And of course, we have the saying, it's the thought that counts, right? But what does that mean, the thought that counts? The thought is, I thought about you because I care about you, because I have this relationship with you that matters to me. And then when you're thankful, truly thankful, what you're doing, really acknowledging, is not really the gift, but you're acknowledging the relationship, and you're saying, I see that you care about me, and I appreciate the fact that you care about me. And that's, people get tripped up on that all the time, you know. They look at the gift, and they use the gift to evaluate the relationship, which kind of makes sense. All relationships begin by exchanges of information, of niceties, and sometimes actual gifts. They begin that way, and they're built on the exchange of, I do this for you, you do this for me. Relationships are built that way, but ultimately, hopefully, relationships become so much more than that, right? My relationship with my wife is not simply a sum total of all the things I've done for her and all the things she's done for me. It is a true bond, a connection, a love that transcends those gifts. And yet, so very often for people, it doesn't ever transcend that. It's always about, what have you done for me lately? And it shouldn't be that way. And what we'll see in a moment is it certainly wasn't that way for David. But it is about the relationship. And David appreciated that. You are with me, he says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. You're with me. And the with me, that's what David valued. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. And suddenly you begin to realize it's not about the stuff, it's not about the things and valuing the things, it's about a relationship, and how beautiful and wonderful that relationship is, and being grateful for it. And the sixth point is expressing that gratitude, because that's part of it. Being thankful is great. Expressing gratitude, that seals the deal. Yeah. And that trips us up too. I don't know why, but it does. So very often we just don't stop to say thank you. We don't just, to each other, to family, to friends, we just, I don't know, it's I don't know what it is. But it's so important because it acknowledges that there's the relationship. It acknowledges the gift. It acknowledges the love. It's the returning of the love, because, you know, that's really what we want. We want to foster and grow and build a relationship, and saying thank you is part of that. And if you're not in the habit of thanking people, do it, because the more you do it, the more it will prompt you to think about the good things in your life and the good people in your life, and be more grateful, and then say thank you more, and then on and on and on. And that's exactly what David is doing here.
Thank you, Doug.
Well, you're welcome. Because that's, you know, I read something the other day too. It says when people thank you for something or acknowledge what you've done, don't say, oh, it was nothing. Don't say, it's no problem. I mean, that sounds a little giving, you know, to say, oh, it wasn't really a big deal. But don't say that, according to this line of thinking. The thing to do is to say, you're welcome. Because it's, what it's saying is that you do matter to me. And not a problem, or it was nothing. It was something, and I did it, and you acknowledged it, and I acknowledge your acknowledgement. You're welcome. That's a great deal. Expressing gratitude. Now, these are the six principles of thankfulness. And it would appear to be all of them, all of the ones that we need to talk about. But there's one more. What would you say that Psalm 23 is about? Well, it's about what I've been talking about. It's about David seeing the good things in his life and being thankful for them and acknowledging God's presence in his life and how wonderful that is to David. And yeah, it's all of those things. But now I want to ask you a question. What kind of life had David had? You know, we think of Psalm 23 as being this peaceful, serene, kind of bucolic vision of these nice fat sheep, you know, in the still waters and sitting at a banquet and the oil pouring over your head and everything's good and everything's great and God's watched out for me and I, you know. But what kind of life had David had? See, the truth of the matter is this psalm is a psalm about David's life and the way he sees his life. And his life had been pretty tough. And so the seventh and final principle of thankfulness is that it's something you do no matter what. You see that the thankfulness is not dependent upon everything going right in your life. I want you to think about this. I shall not want. I've heard different people talk about what that means. Ask yourself this question. Why didn't David just say, I have not been in want? I have never, ever wanted for anything. Well, that's not really true for David. But he didn't see it that way. He didn't choose to see it that way. And he didn't express it that way. What about this statement? He restores my soul. Oh, wait a second. I thought everything was great in your life, David. No, David says, no. No, sometimes I get down. Sometimes things are tough. But you know what God has done for me? He's restored my soul. But not just once or twice. And he restores my soul. That means that I expect he's going to have to do it again. But he will. Or this statement, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's right there in the middle of this psalm. Even though, sometimes we read too fast. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's every possibility, opportunity for fear in this valley of shadow and death. I choose not to fear. I choose not to fear because God, you are with me. What an amazing thing to say. I will fear no evil. Plenty of evil to be feared, if you wanted to. And this business about the rod, you know, the rod and the staff, they're not all for rescuing. Sometimes the shepherd uses the rod to do something that is not immediately pleasant for the sheep. To correct the sheep, to get the sheep in line. Is David thankful about that? You better believe he is. Is it pleasant when it happens? No. What about this business about enemies? Yeah, this big banquet feast before me in the presence of my enemies? Now, wait a second. Enemies? You've got enemies, David? Yes, he did. He had lots of enemies. All of his life. Had to deal with them. But God, you took care of me. Have taken care of me. You see, David's thankfulness, David's talking about his life, and it was a life of trauma and pain, and that's just the brutal reality of it. You go back and you look at David's life, and he grew up the youngest son of a bunch of brothers, and I can tell you from personal experience from just having one brother that to be the last one on the end, the one that the others didn't respect or appreciate, the one that gave all of the menial chores, that wasn't easy. And, he goes into a life, as a maybe a little smaller guy, maybe a guy who plays a harp, and when I grew up, not necessarily all easy going. And then he goes out and he has to shepherd sheep, which is a tough job, by the way, if you've never had to do that, out in the spending your nights out in the open, in the fields, and then the lion and the bear comes, and David fought them off, and that wasn't easy, and that wasn't without its fear, I assure you. And then he enters into this work of fighting, of becoming a fighter and a warrior, and in every battle David ever fought at, his life was in danger, it was in jeopardy, and then Saul takes a disliking to him and chases him around for years and years and years and years, and his life, he lives hand to mouth, he doesn't know where his next meal's coming from, and he sleeps in caves, and this is the life David is talking about. And finally he gets the kingdom, and it's not all easy going there. There are troubles and turmoils, and he loses two sons, and he has an affair, and that doesn't go very well, obviously, and he loses the child that is born to that affair, and there's a rebellion, and there's always backbiting, and there's always somebody after him, and he has to fight, and he has to scramble his whole life, and yet he looks at his life, and I don't know at what point David wrote the 23rd Psalm, but he looks at his whole life, and he says, you know what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's his take. That's his take. He sees all of the success and joy in his life, and he had plenty of those things too. He sees those things. He takes them all in balance, and he chooses to be grateful. And he says, thank you. He sees God's hand in it, even in the hard times, even in the difficult things. He sees God's hand in it. He says, you know what? Even if I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to be afraid. You're with me. Your rod and your rod is thumping me, and your staff is rescuing me. And there is a, even describing it as a valley is a statement of expectation, of hope. You go down into it, you go through it, but you come up the other side, and you come up out of the darkness into the light, and it'll be fine. That's the way that David saw his life. He was thankful. He was thankful for all the good things in his life. He valued and he trusted God's help. Because that's what you do when you're thankful. And so my question to you this morning is, are you thankful? You got some things in your life. Do you see them? Do you value them? Do you know who they came from? Do you understand that it's personal It's not an accident. Do you understand that it needs to be acknowledged? And I know that your life has not been all a cakewalk. It's not all been great. But I want you to think about Jesus Christ and what he did for you and what that should mean to you. You've had suffering. He did too. Like David, can you see the good? Can you see the ascent up out of the valley that you're in? And can you see that the Lord is with you and that he cares about you and that it's personal? Can you see that? Can you value that relationship more than the stuff, more than anything that you have or don't have, the things that you want, the things that you don't have that you would wish to have? Do you understand that you should value your relationship with God more than any of those things? And say, thank you, God. Thank you for your son to die for me and get me up out of the valley of death. I believe in you. I trust in you. You're with me, and I'm going to thank you. And the way that you do that this morning is to acknowledge God in your life by obeying the gospel and being baptized for the remission of your sins and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done for me. And live your life with gratitude. If you want to do that this morning, come forward and say you will as we stand and sing.